He's blunt, but he's fair. This is Drew Berquist, former counterterrorism officer, realist, and host of This Is My Show, which starts now.
Is it safe to say that based off of your comments, you're suggesting that these women at these abortion rallies are ugly and overweight?
Yes.
What do you say to people who think that those comments are offensive?
Be offended.
I mean, right? I love it. Guys, be bold. It's not always mean to be bold and truthful. I'm Drew Berquist. This is my show. That was Matt Gaetz doing just that. Stop being politically correct, y'all. Stop doing it. It's not the time for it anymore. I don't know if you guys have noticed. It's 2020. And then Drew went into echo mode. No, it's 2022, you guys. We don't like each other. Stop playing nice. Disco, how are you?
Doing good.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Sorry we weren't here yesterday, guys. It was all my fault. Actually, it wasn't my fault. But had some stuff that popped up for Shafi's asylum packet and all this stuff with attorneys. Good stuff yesterday that took a lot longer. I literally could not get back to the studio in time to do the show, so we had to nix it yesterday. But we're going to make up for it because later this week on Thursday.
Does this echo work? Did that work or no? Did you not hear the echo?
I didn't hear the echo.
Never mind. All right.
You're an idiot. No, this Thursday, Disco will be in studio with us, so we'll have two of us at the desk here. It'll be delightful. It'll be fun. It'll also be that way. Actually, that's the only day it'll be that way. But it'll be fun. We'll make up for it. We'll be just that much more saucy at Booze and Banter.
Yep.
Maybe we'll even do some bonus stuff over there. I don't know. We'll figure it out. It's going to be great. But let's stick with Gaetz. I want to show one more clip of Matt Gaetz. Because, look, you know me. I'm not all in on any candidate. That's just not how I do things. Some of you guys are. That's fine. Do your own thing. But I don't go all in on people. I go all in on the country and who we're supposed to be, who we've been. That's what I'm about. Doing the best for the most good, doing the best for this country. But Matt Gaetz is doing it right here because he said this at the Turning Point Action Conference here. Take a listen.
And so let me speak to you directly, Hunter. I asked the FBI where your laptop was, and it seems they've misplaced it. How weird. But it just turns out that I have a copy right here. I entered it in the Congressional Record. We have your texts, we have your emails, we have the payments from Burisma, we have your travel records, we even know the Chinese communists who own you. You and the big guy have never lived one day under real Republican oversight. So these... these aren't going to be the days of Lindsey Graham breathlessly promising us every night that he's about to bring Hunter Biden in any moment. I got Jim Jordan and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert with me now, and I have a lot of backup coming in 2024. We will expose the corruption of this administration, just like we exposed the origins of the Wuhan virus, the Fed surrection on January 6th, and the stolen 2020 election.
All right, so again, playing tough. He's not doing what Lindsey Graham's doing, which is nothing. What so many other Republican politicians are doing, which is nothing. Lindsey Graham, now that's not fair. Lindsey Graham's doing something. He's probably being sodomized in like a DC bathhouse by another man right now. Because he's a little bitch.
It's very graphic.
It was very graphic.
Very
sorry.
Descriptive.
way to get into it on Tuesday. Well, you know what they say about Tuesdays. I was hoping that maybe you did. I don't know what they.
I don't even know what day it is. I just know we have a show. I don't. You know me. I don't know days.
Yeah. Well, who cares anymore? Literally every day is the same to me for the most part. So the days really are different. But My point in all this is, I'm not encouraging people to be rude and mean or whatever you might think some of those comments are. I'm just encouraging you to not take it like we have as a Republican Party for far too long. That's what we need to do. We need to push back. Again, the rules need to change. They change the rules all the time. Why don't we? Why can't we play different? We should. We have to. Trust me, if we want this country to stick, this constitutional republic to remain.
Because that's not fair.
It's not fair.
It's not fair.
And then they started crying. All right. Speaking of saying things kind of out of turn, not out of turn, because again, this is how we're going to do things now. But speaking of saying nasty things, today's question of the day is this. What's your favorite non-curse word? Curse word. I'll repeat. What's the best non-curse word? Curse word. So not an actual, I'm not asking what's your favorite curse word. I've got a very strong answer for mine. I'm asking, what do you say when you try to not curse, but you're saying something? Let us know what it is. Drop it in there as you do. Today's episode is brought to you by our good friends over at MyPillow. Guys, amazing products, amazing deals going on there right now. They're adding stuff all the time. And the best part is you can save up to 66% by going to MyPillow.com and using promo code Drew, D-R-E-W. So again, it's MyPillow.com, promo code Drew, D-R-E-W, to save up to 66%. You get the best night's sleep of your life. You support the show, and you support a great American company all at the same time. So please get on over there and do it. People have been amazing about it. And again, guys, share this with your friends, your family, your colleagues. The deal's not just for listeners. It's the listeners get that promo code. You can share it with whoever you want. And again, it goes a long way in helping us out. Okay, let's get to some response here. Shut the front door, says Amy. Fudge! FJB. Which I don't know if that's just saying that, which a lot of people do, or the other. Son of a biscuit, says Shirley Coleman. I like that one. I'm pretty sure. It's sad that I don't know this. I'm pretty sure it was a dream last night. But there was definitely biscuits and gravy involved. I don't know where else I've seen them.
It was. Well, I had them the other day.
So good.
At breakfast.
Yeah. Where at? Well, you don't need to tell me where. But that's the life.
It was just a diner. Leah was on call, so you know, we got to have breakfast before she got called in to deliver babies. So
there you go. And what better way to do it than with some heavy gravy, artery clogging gravy on some.
I was like, I'm gonna need all your gravy, and I was like, I'm sorry, I don't think you understand what I want the vat out here.
Yeah,
and she didn't speak that good of English, and so she didn't really understand. I got no gravy. I got like
she thought you called gravy. Her fat, so she probably spit in your gravy.
Whatever, whatever doesn't kill me makes me stronger.
He
right?
called me fat, huh? I show him. So son of a biscuit was a good one, Shirley. Fricking flipping, another shut the front door. Crap, love crap. I don't love, you know what I'm saying. Frack. Okay, I don't know that I've heard frack. Sugar buckets and baskets. Izzy Fury coming in with a winner there. I feel like I would stumble over that. Well, here's what would happen. I'd be like, sugar buckets and baskets, and I'd scream. And then I'd say an actual cuss word. Then I'd drop an F-bomb at the end because I was frustrated. Linda, good seeing you as well. Frickin', so lots of frickin', you know, spelling is irrelevant here. Some people do it with an I-C-K. Some people do double G-I-N, whatever the case might be. Son of a biscuit again. Son of a biscuit again. June says, dang. What else we got? Son of a beach. Shirley is just sending in lots of responses.
The
now.
Beaches.
The northern beaches are the best. Stick it where the sun don't shine, says James. Stick it to him, my friend. Okay, we've got Fudge, douchebag from Kathy. You're speaking to my heart. Speaking to my heart. You know that. I get complaints, by the way, every once in a while from audience members. I love the show. I just wish you wouldn't say douchebag so much. Well, I'm sorry. It's an amazing phrase.
Yeah, okay? I'm starting to run out of alias email addresses to send those just to get you fired up.
Just to get me fired up. Okay. Yeah. I knew it was you. I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for those meddling kids. So Mother Forklift is a good one, Judy. Mother Forklift. Beyotch, B-E-Y-O-T-C-H. Electric Boots, just still talking about Buttigieg and his sex life. That's just what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think it's literally that comment's been made multiple times today already by Electric Boots. Persistence is key with anything.
We're 11 minutes in.
Balderdash. Race, I don't know if you're saying cheese and crackers is your thing or if you just are wanting cheese and crackers.
Yeah.
I can't tell if this is like a Brick Tanlin moment here or if this is.
I love Lamp.
what the frick, an ass hat. I think Dagnabbit's is one of mine. I use douchebag a lot. Yep. So I'd say they're right there. I'd say they're right there between them. Yeah, and I say it so fast. I've never thought about because D Donner saying Dagnabbit. Someone says Dagnabbit. I say Dagnabbit. That's how I say it. And then he just tried to figure out how he says things.
For the rest of the hour.
Again. All right, so there's some good responses. What would yours be, Disco?
I always liked the Chris Farr, like, the son of a... you don't finish it. Always a good one.
That's a good one.
Growing up when playing Super Nintendo with my dad, we'd play, like, the Mario Kart that was on there. And I was little, he'd be like, shit. And then here I am, a little kid going, shit. And so he had to stop doing that because I would be repeating them. So he turned it to sugar cookies. And so it's really cute because now my girls say it because I have to say that around them. And so here my little daughter's in sugar cookies. And I asked him like a while ago, why was it sugar? He goes, it was the only thing I could think of in the moment, in the heat of the Mario Kart battle. It's the only thing I could think of.
Okay.
So,
well.
Yeah. I love douchebag. Douchebag is fun.
Douche flute.
It's fun to say.
Michelle coming in with Michelle Roderick. Douche flute. Raven, I have a sailor's mouth, so I use regular swear words. Absolutely, I do too. But
I use douche nozzle a lot too.
Douche nozzle, yeah. Colossal douche. There's a wide variety of douches out there. Okay, guys, please hit that like button, smash it, whichever platform you're on. Even if you're not a fan of the term douchebag, please do hit that button. Make sure you're subscribed on said platform and continue to engage in the chat room. We look forward to spending the rest of the show with you. We'll be doing Booze and Banters, barring an issue, over on Locals after the show. We should be good. We talked to them and I think have that all squared away. So that'll be drewberquist.locals.com. We'll have a drink. We'll wrap up this Tuesday after the show, doing it the way that we always do it. Douche Canoe is a good one too. MJ Thompson. Okay, so let's get into this. We've got a couple stories I was going to hit on yesterday before things got canceled. We'll get into that. We'll get into some other stuff. Already have a lot of stuff prepared for tomorrow as well. Fart knocker things just keep coming in here. People listening are like, gosh, he's got Tourette's. He just says like these weird things throughout. No,
fart knocker.
The question of the day was, what's the best non-curse word curse word? So you're going to have responses flying in. Don't be a twat waffle. That's pretty awesome. Shirley Goldman. That's my favorite of the day.
Yes.
That is by far my favorite of the day, and I'm going to use it. Maybe even as soon as tonight. I won't tell.
Be
today.
Safe. Be smart. Be free.
Okay. So Jill Biden heckled over the weekend while walking into a business. Take a listen to what particularly this one guy says to Jill and her response. Okay.
Let me turn that up and we can play it back again because that is fantastic.
It's amazing. Please do.
Hang on. Volume. There we go.
All right. Go.
Your husband's the worst president we've ever had.
Thank you.
You owe us gas money.
So, first of all, let's address the elephant in the room. I mean, your husband's the worst president we've ever had, is the comment. But can we just talk about Jill's dress for a second? Because it's literally like ripped out of an 80s Motel 6 hotel room. Not hotel room, motel room. It was pretty There it is. Let's pop that up on the screen. There's just a lot going on here.
An orange tree in Florida?
I don't know what's going on. But here's what I do know is, excuse me, Joe is
definitely dressed like a third grade teacher.
Yes, yes, Mrs. Frizzle.
Yeah.
Today we're going to the water plant. So, and Jill is a horrible wife, says Shirley. Yes. But look, the guy's right. He's making a valid point. Joe is not possibly one of the worst presidents we've had. He is the worst president of all time. Gas prices out of control. Inflation. We're in a recession. That we're going to talk a lot about recession tomorrow, because here's what they're doing. They're changing the definition of what recession is just so they can say, no, we're not in a recession. I mean, these guys, again, like we talked about earlier in the show, you've got to play the game differently. They do. Literally, they're like, we're not in a recession. Well, but according to this, no. You're looking at an old definition. We changed that this morning. That's not what it means anymore.
That's when W was in office.
Yes.
And now it means something else.
Oh my gosh. Herbie, shit, that looks like wallpaper in my grandparents' kitchen. Yeah, that's kind of what was going on there. But she says, thank you. Thank you. That's great. Yeah, we're awful. I know. But that's just kind of how these guys do it. They're protected by the media. And instead of ignoring them, she sends back that response. But how out of touch do you have to be? It's just another let them eat cake moment for Democrats. The guy's
or
telling
all she heard was your husband, and then she just wanted to react. Hey, thank you, you know, like she didn't hear anything else he said, because I'm speechless.
I mean, basically what she's saying is it's arrogance, it's Democrat arrogance, it's politician arrogance. It's thank you, shut up, I'm better than you, and you don't forget that. Okay. Doesn't matter what you think. I'm going to smile and wave. The media will spin this in a way that benefits us. You're just some serf. You're just some peasant. Because that's how they do it. Arrogance is one of the strongest pillars in left-wing ideology. It was on full display there. The contempt that these guys have for everyday Americans. And again, there's Republicans who fall in this camp too, who don't like Americans, could care less about them. But it's remarkulous. Like, can we make that a word? I think we're going to.
Yes. I mean, sure. Why not?
I mean, they're changing definitions. Why can't we? But it really is. It's astounding. It's remarkable. It's whatever you want to do. But as she's getting that right, Joe Biden gets heckled, and or people just don't show. Jill Biden shows up. People talk about how bad her husband is. And here's Trump. Here's the scene of Trump leaving Tampa this week. It's quite the contrast. Take a look. And the photo op at the end. So look, totally different, right, than what we just saw with Jill, what we typically see. And I like Trump, you know that, but I'm not saying this to make it about Trump versus Biden. I'm saying it to show why people like Trump, but to show the difference in how we do things as Republicans and Democrats, or as Americans and anti-Americans. I mean, these cops are lined up. When he comes out of the auditorium, they start gathering around him. And you know why? Because he had their back for 4 years. He had the cops, he had the law enforcement community, he had the military, the intel community, all of them. He had their backs for 4 years, where the other side vilified them, tried to defund all the stuff that they did, the attack. Look at the recruiting numbers, the morale within the law enforcement community. All of it says everything you need to see and hear. They destroyed that. Democrats hate police. Now, everyone knows it.
Now, if a bad guy runs, was it in Chicago, they can't chase him?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
I think it was Chicago.
I'm pretty sure it was too. But, I mean, he takes the time to stop and talk to them, okay? Which is a huge difference. Again, the Democrats don't. And if they do, it's purely for a photo op. And then they go back and get on the podium and start slamming them. They do everything they can to undercut law enforcement. And you know why? Because it's all part of their plan to federalize police work, law enforcement writ large. And why are they doing that? Because we know they like more power. You've got to have everything centralized at the government level if you want maximum control. But back to this video, the cops love Trump. They all want to say hello and chat. And he doesn't brush past them and treat them like peons. He doesn't treat them like garbage, like Democrats do. He stops, he talks, he listens. It's moments like that that perfectly demonstrate why people love Trump so much. And also why people hate him, by the way. It goes both ways. Because Democrats look at that clip and they're like, look at these people. He's a tyrant. He's awful. And these thugs that he's talking to, the cops, will do anything he says. No. Meanwhile, our side is like, hey, isn't it refreshing to see a politician, a leader, stop and talk to everyday people? Stop and talk to people who protect communities, put their life on the lines for jack shit salaries, to go and do what's right? Once again, guys, the divide between our two sides, our two parties, our two ideologies, moreover, because our parties are split, so it's really ideologies in this country, it's gigantic. It is massive. We can't agree in general terms that law enforcement, the cops, are good guys. Is there a bad one out there? Of course there is. There's bad everything. But we can't even agree that they are public servants doing the right thing, that they're good guys. We can't agree what a woman is, for Pete's sakes. We can't agree. It stops there. I mean, the list goes on and on. But, I mean, literally, when you can't agree what someone is, it's ridiculous. But let's move on here, because we got lots to catch up on since we missed yesterday. So let's get to Kamala, who's out there talking about... She literally is referencing the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida, which, do we need to even say it again, Disco? Like, it doesn't say gay.
It's the parental rights bill.
Yeah. But listen to her comment here. We've got two or maybe three clips about Kamala today. Listen to
the
this
bill
comment.
Doesn't say gay. That's what they're saying. The bill doesn't say gay in it. That's what they're saying.
No, it doesn't. Let's listen to the clip.
So these are issues that impact young people, because as we all know, your right to vote and the action of voting unlocks all the other rights, including same-sex marriage, including whether we're going to stand up against a law that says don't say gay, basically restricting kindergarten through third grade teachers in Florida to be able to love openly and teach what they believe is important for people to understand.
Okay, so once again, it's been mere seconds since we said this. It does not say gay, doesn't reference gay. It's the most common sense, practical bill that everyone should agree upon, that we shouldn't be talking about this nonsense with pre-K, kindergarten through third grade children. The Don't Be a Groomer bill, says Minnie. Yeah. But she says openly love. Like, that. That's just too much.
You feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's not. I don't like, can we... I know that you guys are sick and twisted people, but can we change that terminology? It's not. But who are these teachers supposed to openly love? And how are they supposed to do it? They're supposed to do it by talking to 5, 6, and 7-year-olds about sex? That's what they're talking about. How am I supposed to tell people about my partner and what we're doing at home? Like, there's literally been teachers who have come out and said that. You're not supposed to. Again, coloring books, practice doing your letters, juice boxes. That's what kindergarten is.
Nap time.
But she's promoting it. I mean, this, keep in mind, this is the chick who promoted bailing rioters out in Minneapolis after the George Floyd riots. Criminals who have burned buildings to the ground. And now you're suggesting it's appropriate and in fact, in your words, encouraged for adults to speak to children about sexual activity, sexual identification, gender, all of that stuff. And you know why? You know why they think it's okay? One, because they're sick and twisted people. There's no help for these people. But because this ideology that the radical left has, they believe your children belong to the state, to the government, not to you. They're not yours. In their mind, I mean, literally, think about that. It sounds so foreign. You're like, no, they're not. They're my kids. And you're damn straight they are. But that's going back to that gigantic divide. That's what we're talking about here, guys. These are people who think, hey, we can treat them this way. We can talk about this way. We're going to groom them this way. You know why? Because they're ours. Like, right? I mean, that's who we're dealing with. And they telegraph their philosophy with Murder Granny's book, It Takes a Village. The book is about how it's everyone's responsibility to raise your children, especially the state. That's just who these guys are. They always say what they mean. People just are like, oh, they would never think that. Or do. No, they do. They do think that. They do that. That's what's going on.
You said doo-doo.
Doo-doo, I did. But she's just a sad, barren, empty pantsuit. Let's move on. We got more Kamala, because she had more pearls of wisdom. This was I didn't know this, but listen to what she said about pregnancy in America.
To put it in law, there may be litigation, but we will be in a much better position than to not do that. And, you know, listen, women are getting pregnant every day in America, and this is a real issue, and we need to act with a sense of haste about what is at play, what is at stake, and codifying Roe will be an important moment in terms of putting back in place protections for the folks who are at risk right now because of what the court did in Dobbs just weeks ago.
So let's go back to the beginning of that.
I have a question.
Women are getting pregnant every day, she says in an alarmed fashion.
What?
I mean, shut the front door. Let's use all those comments from earlier. Twat waffle. Which sounds so weird when you just say it out of the blue. But again, thank you for throwing that one out there. That's amazing. But she literally said, women are getting pregnant every day. Yes, that's how it works. That's something that can and does happen when you have sex. And it's also something that we do to continue our species, to keep bringing people. Now, some of you shouldn't. Some of you shouldn't. That's for sure. But that's just what happens. I mean, again, this is such a typical response of them. And I had a bunch of other thoughts I was going to go to on this, but I just want to make it super simple. For all the people protesting, like Matt Gaetz said, first of all, a lot of you who are protesting are never going to have to worry about getting pregnant. You just aren't. WWE type career where you're like the big girl who just sits on people and then gets the 1, 2, 3, maybe. But for the ones who are attractive, like you understand, right? I mean, we all learned this in fifth grade. It's probably earlier now, which is terrifying. But like you understand birth control. You understand how babies are made. Like we can turn this show into the birds and the bees. But this is a possibility. This is something that can happen. And you should expect that it's going to happen. And then act accordingly. Either don't do it or practice safe sex, whatever the case might be. There's options. There's ways to prevent this. But people are getting pregnant. We've got to be able to kill our baby. Like, stop it. I'm so sick of talking about how simple of a concept this is. At the end of the day, it's not the rapes, it's not the incest. The vast majority is people who I made a mistake and I want to erase this mistake. I just love that the comment I just read on Rumble, you can't wear a necklace on your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Truth. But seriously, I mean, this whole conversation is just maddening. And listening to Kamala speak is maddening. Realizing that this world, this global audience sees her as the vice president. People here, and she is quote unquote the vice president. She is sitting in that position right now. But she is so stupid, has so little understanding of how our government works, about how just life works. I mean, literally, she's Willie Brown is responsible. Look at how this girl rose to fame. Democrats call a baby in the womb a parasite. Essentially so, yeah. But the ones who don't say it that way, they certainly live it that way. But there were some questions. Listen, look at this response. Maybe you saw this yesterday or over the weekend. But obviously, as we talked about at the end of last week, Joe came down with cancer and COVID last week. Rough week for the guy. His words, not mine. His words. COVID and cancer is the C cubed week. And of course he was with all these people. We showed you clips of the day before they announced he had COVID. He's shaking the hands of people in the crowd. All this. He was with Cam Cam. So they get asked about this. And you know it's going to be a good time at the press briefing when KJP has a friend with her, like a special guest. So check out Dr. Whoever's with her here, addressing Cam Cam not following CDC guidelines as it pertains to being around Joe. Take a listen.
The other question I have for you, Dr. Jha, Vice President Harris is a close contact of the president's, and the CDC guidance says that if you're a close contact, you want to wear a well-fitting mask when you're around other people. She just spoke at a conference in D.C., and she hugged someone without a mask on. She was also maskless for most of that conversation. Would you have recommended that she keep her mask on, given that that is the CDC guidance?
You know, I'm not sure what I have not been tracking the vice president's activities. So I don't have anything specific to say about what she did. My understanding is that the vice president is following CDC guidelines on close contact. She's also recently been infected, so within the 90 days of a previous infection. But I don't know if you have anything else to offer on the vice president.
I guess she isn't following the CDC guidance, Bill, right? If she is hugging someone without a mask on. On that.
Yeah, I think the CDC guidance is clear, but the problem is me commenting on what the vice president did when I wasn't actually, I haven't seen it, or I don't actually know what happened is very, very difficult. So I'm going
to
pass.
She took off the mask and she embraced someone. You don't have to see it. I mean, that's what happened.
Yeah. So usually when we think about people having contact, is for an extended period of time. I don't know. Again, I didn't see the hug. I don't know how long the hug lasted, but it's very hard for me to comment on something I really didn't see. So.
So this was about the mask and hugging someone, although she was with Joe, so a little different than I described it there. I forgot part of that clip. But can this scene be any more awkward? Are you going to get it? Do you want to get it? Someone like leans in like they're going to do it, but they don't really want to do it, and then hand gesture. Like, the whole thing was just great. Like, can KJP in particular look any more awkward? She's like an alien who just landed in Times Square.
She's like, please stop talking.
Yeah. I mean, she's just trying to blend in and no one look at me. Everyone's like, but, oh man.
It's muted. Just the awkwardness.
But
it's just.
The only way out for the doctor who's answering the question, we got another clip from him, by the way, here in a little bit, is to keep saying, I didn't see the tape. Textbook deniability, right? But. All the bottom line is regardless, look, and I'll take Cam Cam's side on this. The guidelines are BS. They push them on everyone else. It's rules for thee, not for me, which is what's the story here. And then how dumb these two at the podium were. But the guidelines are BS. The only hardcore left-wing science worshipers who are, by the way, not paying attention to actual science, but science in their own minds, they're the only ones who believe CDC guidelines. They're the only ones who listen to them. But as we talk about that, I show that because it's awkward. And these are the people telling you what to do. And they don't even know what to do. They don't even know what's going on. But we're heading into the fall. And we've got lots of things ramping up in terms of COVID, in terms of monkeypox, and Lord knows what else. And we've got Tedros, Director General, you know, dictator Tedros from the World Health Organization. And he overruled a panel of advisors who voted against the monkeypox emergency declaration. It was a 9-6 vote to not go for like an emergency declaration. He overruled it. He said, hey guys, you know what? The vote's kind of just informal. I'd rather do this. I make the final decisions, not the panel. So even though you, the experts, are telling me, now we don't need to do that, we're going to go ahead and declare it an emergency. And let's play this clip. I forget which clip this is, but let's play this clip of Tedros and then we'll come back.
For all of these reasons, I have decided that the global monkeypox outbreak represents a public health emergency of international concern.
Okay, so it's just him saying that. So here's the play, though, right? So keep in mind, again, he was told he didn't need to do that. But he, of course, knows that he does need to do it for a lot of other reasons. But the play's this. It's like AIDS. The WHO, as well as the CDC, are waiting for monkeypox to start infecting the heterosexual community. And that way the gay disease stigma can be dropped. Because right now, again, unless you're Lindsey Graham or Pete Buttigieg or one of those people, you're probably not getting it, right? But then it turns into a concern for everyone who's having sex. Again, the abortionists who are out there protesting in front of the Supreme Court and places like that, you guys don't have to worry, you're not going to be having it. But these same health tyrants that we've grown to know a lot about, I mean, who paid attention, by the way? We knew they were there, but who really paid attention to the World Health Organization, the CDC, the NIH? Who paid attention to them at all before 2 years ago? That was like the response for people like, hey, have you ever heard of the CDC? They're like, yeah, definitely. Who are they?
The center.
It's a place. I mean, but like no one knows. But these guys, these globalists who want control, it is all about control. They're treating monkeypox like COVID. That's the fear that they're starting to peddle out. That's the reason they're making it an emergency, which gives them additional powers, which again boils down to control. But you guys, there's some big differences between COVID and monkeypox. COVID was created in a lab with research money provided by Fauci through the NIH. Been proven. Go ahead and take things down, YouTube, if you want, but it's been proven. The virus got out of the lab because of very lax security protocols and infected Wuhan. This is going with not crazy theories. This is just calling it out there. The Chi-Coms quarantined Wuhan from other Chinese cities while letting citizens from Wuhan travel around the world and infect as many people as possible. That's on you, China. So there's COVID. Monkeypox most likely came from baboon prostitution in Central Africa, something most people don't get caught up in. I mean, I don't know if you have you been to a baboon brothel before, Disco?
No, I didn't even know those existed.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't either. I just made it up. But baboon prostitution is almost the most likely way that the HIV jumped from primates to humans. Believe it or not, baboon prostitution is a real thing. And the Democratic Republic of Congo, other Central African countries, and it involves tying baboons' arms and legs together. It's horrific stuff we're not going to go into. I promise you we're not sharing pictures either. But comparing the spread of these two diseases, comparing how you get these diseases, all of that is categorically insane. It's ridiculous to even suggest, but they're going to do it. They're going to do it, and people are dumb, and people are going to listen. But again, I'll have to check that out, Mini Trap. But again, COVID's passed through the air, right? It's easy to get. We know that, right? We've all had it. A lot of us have had it 2, 3, 4 times. Now, is it essentially a cold? Yes, but it's a real thing. It passes through the air, passes through contact. It's easy to get from people, okay? It still sucks. It's not fun. No one likes to be sick, whether it's that, whether it's strep throat, whether it's whatever. No one likes being sick and down for the count, but that's what it is. It's that. You get over it, you move on. But no one's scared of dying from it anymore. There's some people who are. You see them driving with their mask by themselves, but like most people are over it. But monkeypox, right now, as stated by the experts, this is not just me making shit up, okay? I promise you, I don't have multiple degrees in viruses like monkeypox. But it's passed from a man. It's passed from a man not letting another man with blisters on his junk. There's graphic ways to describe this.
Use your imagination. Use your imagination, people.
You're not doing it. You're not doing it. This is something you are not doing. You're not. Even Kamala would turn down a blister rod. Like, that's a fun word. That just came out, blister rod. But people, you are not in this category. Most of you, I think. You're not susceptible to this unless you are doing those things with those people. That's how it's being transmitted right now. And yet they're still trying to ramp up the fear machine for all of America. Oh, don't get monkeypox. Not worried about it.
And I also feel like it's more visible than COVID. There's no like visible onset of COVID. You know, you could be asymptomatic, you know, and still test positive. Right. This, you're going to see it. It's probably easier to stop the spread.
Yes.
Because you'll be able to see it.
I should not put that in my body. Yes. Not just because scripture tells me not to, but because it's. Because masking doesn't protect against the transmission of monkeypox. They're going to start pushing that. I promise you they will, because people are stupid. If any health official says different, they're lying to you. They want to control you. And if this gets to the point where literally businesses are like, I need to see your monkeypox test results in order to stop, to work here. We're so doomed. I think we're doomed anyways, if we're being honest. But man, I'm just telling you, if you're not in that razor, you're not even just in the gay community. You're in like this like graphic, razor thin, you know, small amount of the gay percentage of the gay community. You're okay. You're okay. But people are getting scared. They're talking about vaccines. Literally, guys, yesterday, Benjamin, good to see you, brother. Yesterday, the Biden administration said that they're weighing declaring monkeypox a public health emergency as well. The World Health Organization already has, but Biden and his administration are considering doing it here in America, and they're planning to name a national coordinator to oversee their response to monkeypox. If we've got a massive outbreak in monkeypox, we've got bigger problems than I even thought we had here in this country.
This is the monkeypox czar.
Yeah. I mean, and who wants that title? Like, you're outed as not just gay, but you're outed as like a freak show. I mean, Pete Buttigieg has already got a job, so I think he's not in the running. I don't know. But the point is, they're trying to spin up fear again. They're trying to get more control, and they're doing it with something that is laughable. Is the disease real? Is it serious? Yes. But are you going to get it? No. No, you're not going to. But speaking of that, they know that this has kind of been a flop. Like I said earlier, if they can get it to the point where it starts spreading more and there's a variant that start to scare people into thinking that heterosexual people are going to get it too, maybe they can get more of a win with the naive and stupid people out there. But they're also ramping up COVID again, too. Because here's the same guy that we showed you in that clip earlier who could not respond to the question about Kamala's hug. It's Dr. Ajish Jha, the COVID response coordinator, pushing fear with COVID, talking about deaths. Take a listen.
I want to start by emphasizing the importance of staying up to date on COVID-19 vaccinations as we face BA5. Approximately 400 Americans are still dying every day, which, while much better than it was when the president took office, is still too many, still too high, particularly because we can now prevent most of these deaths. Our existing vaccines continue to provide robust protection against serious illness, hospitalizations, and deaths. And because protection wanes over time, it is crucial for people to get a booster to stay up to date. Most deaths are happening in people who are not up to date on their vaccines. Let me repeat that. Most deaths are happening in people who are not up to date with their vaccines. And it is critical that people get out and get vaccinated. As I have said this, and as I've said before, and I will say again, if you're over 50 or moderately or severely immunocompromised, but if you're over 50 and haven't gotten a vaccine this year in the year 2022, you should get one right away. I would not wait. Now, looking ahead, we know this virus is constantly evolving and we can't be complacent. And we are in the much better situation that we are in today because we have been aggressive and forward-leaning in our approach. And we will continue doing that. And to that end, tomorrow, we will be hosting the White House Summit on the future of COVID-19 vaccines. There's a lot of work happening inside the US government and in private industry on the true next generation of COVID-19 vaccines. And the summit will feature some of the cutting edge work being done by US government scientists, scientists in the private sector, companies, American companies who are working on these issues. This summit is an opportunity to bring people together to showcase the science that is already happening, to highlight the work of this administration and what it is doing to bring about these advances for the American people.
Okay, so let's talk about what he just said there. And let's talk, first of all, the underlying message is get vaccinated, let us control you, people are dying, you have to worry about this. Again, talking about the big COVID numbers from before, people thought I was heartless, but I don't care. When I would say the amount of deaths that we've had being a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the population is not something we should slow down for. That's a true statement. It's 100% true. It's practical. It's efficient. It's all those things. Does it suck when people die? Yes. It doesn't matter how. But he's like, we're at 400 deaths a day. Guys, first of all, those are not all COVID deaths. We know that. But 400 deaths a day, 400 times 365, 146,000 a year. That's 0.0004% of our population. And by the way, there's a study that Georgetown did a ways back. I don't remember when this is from. United States population. 2.6 million people die each year. 7,100 each day, 297 each hour, 5 each minute. This is literally, when you throw a number out like that, 400 people are dying a day, I'm sorry, but I'm like, that seems pretty good. Like, that's not bad. And they probably were
going
to
anyways. How many are
dying
from car crashes a day?
Yeah.
How many people are dying from heart attacks a day?
Yeah. Cocaine. Well, I mean, if you're hanging out with Hunter, you got a shot. But no, car crashes, natural causes, all sorts of stuff. I mean, hell, it's ridiculous. Don't buy into it for a minute. But they're ramping it up. They're telling you stuff like this. Fauci said this.
Who are in a zone or a county, state, or a city that has a very high level of dynamic of viral circulation, the CDC would recommend strongly that you wear a mask in a congregate indoor setting. And that would include schools, places of work, anything that brings people together in a closed environment. That is good public health practice.
No, no, it's not. It's good communist practice. It's good control practice. But he's talking about bringing masks back in indoor settings. He also said in a separate clip, we don't have it, but he said in a separate clip, we should have been way more strict with lockdowns last time. Way more strict. The amount of unconstitutional nonsense that happened in this country over the past 2.5 years that was supposed to be 15 days, which we no one ever should have agreed to, is so out of control. And they're saying it wasn't enough. And they're also, we all know this. Look, this was a, I don't want to just straight up say it was a test run. But it was a test to see how much control they could get. And that's what's going on here, guys. They're going to do this again. They're going to try it as many ways as they can. And now they're ramping up monkeypox. They're ramping up COVID. They're ramping up all of that stuff. And you know why? There's elections coming. They're losing on every front possible. They're getting their ass kicked on the economy. Inflation, recession. Again, we're going to talk recession tomorrow. So many things. It's absolutely ridiculous. So we knew this was coming. We knew come the fall would start. And look what's happening. They're ramping it up. They're ramping it up for like subvariant 84 on COVID and monkeypox, which only comes from blister rods. Stop. Don't play
They're
into
even
it.
Ramping up just the flu and cold. They're like, the fall's coming. You know, we haven't had it in a while. Cold and flu season's really going to get like, yes, it's every year. It happens.
Well, except for last year when in the last 2 years where the flu just disappeared. But the flu's coming back. No, the flu was here. You just called all the flu cases COVID because it made your little fear ticker on CNN and MSNBC and even on Fox look worse.
But even still, like the experts were surprised when schools were allowed to come back, you know, in session, like in person. And then they're like, oh, the numbers are rising up. Well, yes, because that's what happens when you put people together. You know, some people have strong immunity, some people don't, but it's going to happen. Every time my kid goes to daycare or to school, or whatever, she gets a cold, comes home. We all get it. It happens. Yeah. It's life. Why are you surprised by that? Is it because you don't have kids? Because you're not going to have kids until everyone's allowed to have kids or whatever the reason behind all that. Like, I don't know. But like, come on, you know this. Everyone knows this.
School's going to start here and there's going to be days where I'm either sick or something changes for the show because I've got 4 kids who are in, you know, younger ages who go to Petri dishes. It's not even school anymore. It's like a buffet. Which disease do you want today? Which virus do you want today?
Which virus? Well, which is good for them. They're going to build up their immunity. They're going to be stronger. They're not going to get sick as adults as much as they should, you know? And so it's going to be good. It's going to be good for them. You know, it's like, I never had one while I was growing up, but like, people throw like the chicken pox party. You know, I got mine and I just got it from school and everything. But now, you know, people bring their kids together if they haven't gotten their kids like the shot at birth, and they're like, get the chicken pox,
go
get it over
Johnny's
with. Let's go.
Face. Go do it
right now.
Yes, it's no, absolutely no. Hippie year. Yes, we talked about that earlier. Expert panel voted against the emergency declaration. Tedros and his globalist douchebag friends said, no, we're doing it anyways. Kathy brings up a point here. In 2020, gosh, remember, we thought 2020 sucked and it was still better than it is now. 337,936 people died from cancer. The average was 925 people per day. But let's flip out about COVID.
But Biden said he's going to cure cancer.
He did. And then he also said he's got cancer. It's just so confusing in 2022. I don't know what to do. But here's this.
I'm telling you, I said it a few months ago. I feel like we're in a horrible, like, Sharknado movie. This is just 2022.
I'm glad you brought that analogy up again because I'm going off on a tangent here. Then we'll hit one more story. Then we'll go to booze and banter. I like shark movies. Okay.
Oh yeah.
I like shark movies. I know that you're not slamming on shark movies. I like them. I want them to be good. Here's my question. Why are they so bad? Why can't anyone make a good shark movie? There's a new preview that came out the other day for one that's coming out this fall. I'm like, okay, come on, do it right. We watched the the preview last night, just to be like, oh, maybe there's going to be a good one. It's garbage.
Yeah, no, I can't remember which one it was. I had a bunch of friends who worked on one of the Sharknado sequels, and it's just, you know they're going to make a lot of money in the box office because it's cheesy, and they get some, like, you know, hot actresses and all, some people that are big just to come in, but it's the budget's cheap, all that stuff, and it's just they're not worried about the story. They're just like, come see sharks thrown in a tornado, and you're going to love it, you know. And it's just people who like to see something, and, you know, they laugh. You know, they might get frightened every now and then. There's blood, whatever. They don't care if it's a good story or not, or if the graphics are good. They're just, they were greenlit to make this movie, so they're going, you know.
Yep, no, exactly. So. But, like, take the budget from $5 million, $10 million. Let's do a $20 million movie. Let's get some good talent. Let's get a good story behind it. Oh, Jaws was good. And there's been a couple. Like, I didn't think The Shallows was awful. I thought that one was decent. I'm sure there's a couple other ones. But
Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea wasn't bad. LL Cool J, you know, rocking it. But it's just, there's just not many good ones.
But it's even the same with, like, snake movies. I mean, like, Snakes on a Plane, Samuel Jackson.
I ain't doing no snake movie. I hate snakes.
Or, like, all Anaconda. Anaconda was probably the best one out of all of them. All the other ones were awful, you know. Like, but they were just banking off the name again. You know, that's all it was, you know.
Open Water was decent too. Again, there's been some decent ones, but then everyone try and release a new one every year. Someone else does, and they just get, like, worse and worse and worse. Like, man,
I don't want Shark Week.
Yeah, no, Shark Week's great, but I need to see someone die in Shark Week every once in a while. Like, let's let's build that up. Like, and that videographer is dead.
Well, let's just build our own budget, and we just hire someone to be like, yeah, well, he's expendable, and just see what happens.
We treat it like the Taliban or Al Qaeda. Like, we're going to pay your family a lot of money. You're not going to make it, but
the audience is going to love it. And so,
all right, here's what we're going to do. It's 3 PM, as the ladies' man would say. So here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to kind of just tease this. We'll talk about it. We're going to talk about, in Booze and Banter, what Trump says he's going to do. We didn't get to it in the main show, so you got to come to Booze and Banter to talk about it. What he's going to do if he were to win, to overhaul D.C., the government, lots of changes. This is reportedly. Obviously, we don't know even if he's running for sure. We don't know if he would win if he ran, and we don't know if he would actually do this plan. But if all those other things happened, then this is what people on his inside team are saying. We'll talk about whether it's good, whether it's bad. We'll talk about whether it makes sense, whether it doesn't, whether it's possible, whether it's not, all of that. We'll get into a bunch of other stuff all over on Locals. It's drewberquist.locals.com. We'll look forward to seeing you there in about 5 minutes or so. Get over there, get an account if you haven't already. It's going to be fun. Get yourself a drink. Hit the head. Do whatever you got to do. We'll look forward to seeing you there soon. If for some reason you can't come, we'll see you at the main show tomorrow. Be safe. Be smart. Be free.
You've just heard Drew Berquist. Tune in weekdays on every major podcast provider or on drewberquist.com.
We're clear.